The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. It's Friday night. Hope you had a good week. If not, most of us will have a chance to do better next time. It's going to be fun tonight, as always, when Harry Cooper joins us. Later on tonight, David John Oates will be here with Reverse Speech Political Newsmakers, and we have heard some amazing things from David. Harry is about ready to take his sharkhunters.com action down to South America in search of history. He has one thing that he says over and over again: enjoy history, have fun with history. We have a birthright to know what's really happened to us in the past. Unfortunately, what we are told has happened to us in the past bears little resemblance to reality. Let's go down to Florida now and say hello to Mr. Cooper. Are you standing by down there, sir, or sitting down, hopefully?
I'm here. I'm suffering under this winter here. It's all the way down to 60 degrees here in Florida.
Oh, stop.
That's why I don't live in Chicago anymore.
Stop. You got over your cold. That's good.
Yeah. That was only a couple of days. The first cold snap every year, and it got down into the 30s, which is cold for Florida. The first cold snap, I always wind up sneezing and wheezing for about a day, and it's gone. Thank God.
Well, it's the Harry Cooper bubble bath theory that you've got this protocol, and he takes hot baths, and that's really good for when you're sick.
Yeah, well, it kind of, I guess it's a boring, predictable trait. Every evening at 7 o'clock, my wife and I watch Jeopardy, and because I'm arrogant, I get to answer all the questions before the contestants do.
Nice.
And then at 7:30, we've got this big round bathtub. We fill it with bubble bath. My wife and I hop in a bathtub, and we discuss the day's events and plan how we're going to work tomorrow. And
isn't that how marriage is supposed to be?
Yeah. I've been lucky. 30
that's,
years.
That's amazing. That's just so nice to hear when you read about all the tragedy and all the angst and grief that the so-called celebrity set goes through. And here you are doing what is supposed to be doable for all of us, but so few get to do it.
Back in the era of my parents, divorce was next to unheard of. I mean,
didn't even talk about it, right?
Yeah. Even if a guy was a drunkard and beat his wife all the time, they still stayed together. Although I'm not saying that was right, wrong, or otherwise, but the credit here goes to my wife. I'm not an easy guy to get along with, and she
outsmarted you, Harry. She outsmarted you.
She learned
how to ignore all the rough edges.
The rough edges. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
No, rough this edges.
Is, this is a nice story. Worse. See, here we are bringing the light of wisdom to the world about how to be happy. It's not, it really isn't that hard. Now, I'm not discounting the fact that many of you listening are having severe financial problems, and it's going to get worse. But there's an inner path to happiness that we are unfortunately taken away from by society, by culture, which constantly tells us that you don't have enough, you're lacking this, you don't get that, and people are just hung up on the wrong things. And you've got it dialed in right, and this is why I brought it up. I didn't mean to pry, but it's such an inspirational thing to hear of a happy marriage now. And
yeah.
I used
well,
to say
you're not
that
crying. If I didn't want to answer, you know me. We've had plenty of private conversations. If I don't want to answer, I just ask you, what's the weather like in your area?
That's what he does. Yeah. Well, I've always said that marriage is a French word, marriage, and the accent is on the front syllable, and it's supposed to be on the last syllable, mirage, you see?
Oh, okay.
And that's the problem. People don't know how to pronounce the word. Anyway.
Okay, if you say so.
No, I'm kidding. It's a dying institution, according to many. It's not cool. It's not hip. And you look at our younger people now and up into their mid-20s, and my God, by the time they're 18, they've done it all 10 times over. And then you look in their eyes, and it's kind of like, is that all there is?
And well, yeah, you're right. I've got a beautiful 24-year-old daughter who's just starting the second year of her master's program with straight A's, our last one.
Wow.
And she's 24, and we look back at the girls she graduated high school with. Almost all of them have one or two little kids walking around with them.
Yeah.
And in many cases, different fathers, never a marriage.
Locked in, totally locked in.
That's it. They've got that ceiling above them. They're never going to rise above that.
Uh-uh.
My daughter's going on for her doctorate.
This is great. Yeah.
She was a part-time model. She's a gorgeous girl. And, of course, any shoots she went on, Dad went along with her.
Good for Dad.
I used to be a photojournalist, too, before I got married.
Yeah. Very nice. This is all good.
Here. I just found a pen in the back of my desk.
A pen?
A pen, yeah, a pen that I've been looking for a week.
Really? Is that the only one you have?
My desk. Say again?
Is that the only one you have? Is that
No, I got a mob of pens here, but this was one that I got when I was in Soncino, Italy, visiting with my friend Aldo, who's a tremendous researcher himself.
Yeah, we've talked about Aldo. Yeah.
Right. They put me up in a very nice hotel. And, you know, hotels always have a pen and stuff for you to take. Well, this one did not have some cheesy little 7-cent pen. This is a really nice pen. And I couldn't find it now. I found it. It's back of my,
good
of my
for
desk.
You. All right.
Boy, this is exciting dialogue here. We're going to get some kind of a Pulitzer Prize out of this.
Burning the house down, as they say. When you go to my homepage, look on the left-hand side for guests, and you'll see Harry Cooper right there, Real History, Real Truth. And look under that for photos. Please load the page. We're going to go on one of our little photo journeys with Harry. Tell us about the trip upcoming, and do you have any room left for people to go along with you?
Yeah, on this one, nobody's going with me because this is, now on our tours to Germany, for instance, the ones that the Spitlickers say are Nazi glorification tours, which they're history tours, nothing.
Is that
more,
what they're saying?
Less.
Oh, that's really disgusting.
Yeah, and they claim I'm a Nazi, which I'm not.
You're an historian, for God's sake, an American Republican, and you're trying to find the truth of World War II and thereafter. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but the Spitlickers don't make any money by being honest.
No.
Anyhow, when we go to Germany and other times when we go to Argentina, these are places I've been to originally, and then I can bring people along to see the things that are interesting, whereas this... as a matter of fact, 2 weeks from right now, I'll be packing my suitcase to leave for the airport. this is an actual expedition. I'm going to places that I know. I think I know what I'm going to find in these places, but I haven't been there, so I don't know. I'm going down there with to meet various very important people to history, and so I cannot be bringing a mob of people along. You know, hi, Mr. Important Person. I'm here to ask you a whole lot of questions about World War II. Don't mind this.
Never mind this 25 people here. No.
That's right. Yeah. So once I get all this done and you know, boots on the ground, I've been saying that long before this comedy show on the History Channel started using that term. But boots on the ground is what makes our Shark Hunters tours far and away better than just about anything else. One of the guys that travels with us several times, a retired cop, he said that's why our tours are the best there are, because I go there and I lay everything out. I meet all the people. I see what's there, and I iron things out. So this time I'm not bringing anybody. I'm going to be 4 weeks in South America, and there's a lot of stuff I can't tell you about now, but I'm going to have one heck of a program for you when I get back.
Well, this is going to be, I have a brief idea of some of the things you're going to be looking into, and let me tell you, folks, they are extraordinary. Now, when you come back, we're also going to do a program with Dick Allgaier, the remote viewer, who has...
Oh, yeah, Dick. Just recently joined Shark Hunters.
Yes, he did. He's a big fan of yours and the organization, and he is, without question, one of the top handful, I don't know how many even fit in the hand, two, three, I don't know, remote viewers in the world right now that we know about that are working on the outside. They have viewers, of course, who work in black ops, who work for big corporations, who you never hear about. But Dick Allgaier's remote viewing and Daz Smith of the JFK assassination, we covered at great length on this program, and it was nothing less than historically stunning. Now, they were given, Dick was especially, I guess, another target to view. Now, they don't know who these targets are or what they are. They have no idea. Could be Mars. It could be mushrooms. It doesn't give you any indication at all what it is when you get the actual coordinates or the directions. They're very simple, usually just letters and numbers or something like that. He remote viewed a certain man who went to Argentina along with his wife after the end of World War II and lived out his natural life in Argentina. He didn't know who he was viewing until later on in the session. So when you get back, we're going to have you on and Dick on, and we're going to go through the whole thing. He'll have a DVD of it, too, because he works now. He has trained himself to do this. He works on a white erase board. So does Daz Smith over in England. But he talks his way through it, explains what he's seeing, what he's feeling as he's doing this remote viewing session. Just extraordinary. You can go to farsight.org and look there, and all the information is there. But we're going to talk about, with Dick and with you, about his remote viewing of Adolf Hitler. And it's he's told me enough about it to where I am convinced without any doubt this is going to confirm everything that you know, what you suspect, and what you're still to find out. I mean, it's going to be a knockout program. Knockout.
All right. Get your ratings way up there.
Well, let's get the truth way up there, because this man did not die in the bunker, and the tooth fairy didn't put the money into your pillow. They were taken out of there. There were deals made. That's the way it works.
You're not going to tell me the fat guy in a red suit ain't coming down my chimney at Christmas time.
No, that's one I stand with. I'm sorry. I'm not giving that one up.
Here.
No, we got to have some fantasy in life. And I remember when I was a kid, that was it for me. Christmas was the most wonderful experience.
It was great family time.
Yeah.
And besides the fact you're celebrating the birth of Christ, it's also great family time.
It was so special when I was little, and then it all came to an abrupt end when I was little. But that's the way life is. Anyway, yeah. I've always protected that, and I I'm a Christmas fan. Always will be. Now, the next available trip will be in the spring. You'll go to Europe because people do want to go.
It's not spring. Not springtime. It's fall, the last week of September and the first week of October. And the reason that is the pivot point of our, we call it the Southern Patrol. My best friend in Europe, Hans-Georg Hess, who is a doctor of law, and who is also the youngest combat submarine commander of the war. 4 months past his 21st birthday, they gave him command of a combat submarine and told him to go on out and die for his country.
Wow.
And he named it, he named our trips patrols. So the high point, the pivot point of this is the Ulrichsberg Memorial. There's a mountain called Ulrichs Mountain, or in German it's called Ulrichsberg. And this is where the veterans meet to remember and memorialize everyone who fell in battle, no matter what uniform, no matter what flag flew over them. Everyone who fell in battle. Of course, that's a Nazi association, according to the Spitlickers.
Oh, please.
For
those of you new to the program, excuse
everybody.
Yeah, let me do this. For those of you new to the program, there are organizations that exist in this country and in Europe who are dedicated to corrupting, perverting, and twisting history into something that serves their purpose, their financial purposes, and they are also, without question, the world's premier hate organizations. And they smear and they defame some of the most wonderful people on the planet. I've been a target for many, many years. Harry has been a target lately, which means his work is really upsetting them and their lives. And, you know, to hell with them all. And if you want to see real hate, just go to their site. And it's we call them... Yeah, they do. Oh, my God. Tens of millions. People, suckers, donate to these groups.
Yeah.
Spitlickers, I pronounce it similarly, but there's an H in there.
Yeah, I know.
It's, I just really don't understand how they get away with their hate.
They used to get paid by the FBI also. They used to have a contract with the FBI because they were allegedly outing subversives and hate groups.
Oh, please.
And,
they're the hate group, for God's sake, as I've said before.
Ronald Reagan was a member. I'm looking at a picture he sent me hanging on my wall right now. The four Medal of Honor winning American submarine commanders were members. One of them was a guest in my house here. You know, so we're not hate or propaganda, we're history. And I must be doing something wrong because I don't get a salary for this. I'm an old fart. I'm retired. I'm just living off my retirement. I don't get a salary. I ran up a financial on them, and in the year 2013, they brought in $40 million in sucker donations, and their cash on hand, or whatever you want to call it, at that point in time, they had a net worth in the bank of $340 million. But then the FBI cut the ties because I think the FBI realized they were outing anybody they could just to get a check. And I like to joke that maybe NASCAR and the Boy Scouts of America were about to be outed as a hate group by these clowns.
They've been at it since the end of World War II. They figured out very early on how to make money, essentially extortion money. Yeah, from people and groups and organizations. This is not... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, one of our members was a good friend of mine also. He wrote to them about a year ago because they said we were a hate group, and he told them that he has been a member for... many years, 10, 15 years.
Uh-huh.
He's Jewish. He's married to an African-American woman. And he asked them, who do I hate?
Yeah.
Apparently they never even answered his letter. So
that's very funny.
If you go at them with fact, it kind of disrupts their day.
They just go on to some other location, some other venue that they can con and, yeah. And deceive.
They have a listing on their website. I looked at it 6 months ago or so, and they got a whole bunch of them, and a whole bunch of stuff in there have the word American in their name. Mm-hmm. Others have the word Christian in their name, mm-hmm. and yet they've decided these are hate groups.
It's
keep that cash register ringing.
I got to hand it to them. They get away with it, and that's sad.
They do.
I mean, here's someone who's doing something like you are that really makes a difference to a lot of people around the world. And, you know, you get donations, but just a handful. You keep it going somehow. I don't know how you do it, but you have achieved.
You know, we've got a lot of good members. It costs $50 a year to be a member, and you get our magazine by the internet. You get it, you see it.
Beautiful magazine.
As a matter of fact, if you checked your email about 3 hours ago, the most current issue just was sent out. The next one the one that just went out, that's the one that's got that top secret photo in there of the diagram of the new Russian nuclear torpedo. I know.
Wow, okay. I haven't.
No.
Well, it's got on the front of the new Shark Hunters magazine is a ship laying on its port side on the bottom. It's a picture. Is that an actual photo or is that an artist computer conception?
No, that's a photo. That's an actual photo. That's the SS Leopoldville, mm-hmm. the one that was sunk. You can see the torpedo holes in the side, the huge glass holes. It was sunk by U-486, and that's the boat that took down a lot of American troops. This was the biggest loss of American life on a troop ship.
Uh-huh.
It was not an American flag troop ship. It was a Belgian, I believe. And contrary to some rumors, the captain of the ship did not leave. The captain stayed and went down with the ship. But the first officer and almost all the crew, they were in the lifeboats first.
First.
And somebody dropped the anchor, whereas if they had left the anchor alone, they could have gone about another 2 miles and beached the ship. But somebody dropped the anchor. They couldn't beach the ship. The ship finally sank frigid waters in the English Channel.
Wow.
And a lot of American soldiers died.
Yeah. Well, you think about that and you think about what the Soviets did to Germans at the end of the war, trying to escape in ships, the most horrific maritime slaughters in history, period.
Yeah.
I mean, no reason for it at all. None. Zero. This is quite a picture, though. It's a very haunting picture on the front of the new...
Yeah, no glass left in the windows.
No.
Just a ghost ship.
It is. It looks like a ghost. It looks exactly like a ghost ship.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you'll subscribe, join Shark Hunters, learn the truth about history, and it has many options for you to avail yourself of in terms of DVDs and publications written by people who lived it. And
yeah,
you can't
that's what sets us apart from anything else. Almost all the surviving skippers, American and German both, were members of Shark Hunters until their death.
You got to know some fabulous people. My God.
I had a sleeping room at Otto Kretschmer's house. I've been over there I don't know how many times.
Uh-huh.
Same with Eric Topp. They're gone now. Reinhard Heyerdahl, though, he sank the first ship in American waters. He's closing in on his birthday in March, 103.
Well, you see him next time, please give him a hug for me. That's an amazing man to have lived.
Yeah, he still drives his Mercedes down the Autobahn.
Good for him. He still drives his car. Yeah.
Tough guy.
Well, these are real soldiers, again, from all different countries, and they're all honored equally at sharkhunters.com. We will be right back with Harry. Load those photos. They're in guests at rents.com. We're going to take you on a little trip, as we always do. Hang on. And back with Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. If you haven't been there, you've been missing something very, very special. We'll go to photos now, Harry, and I'm sure you're taking a look as we talk. First picture up there is, now, this probably stands out as the most important book of history, seriously, in many, many, many years, maybe decades. This book opens the door to a past that has been so perverted and corrupted. This is the real truth. This is what happened at the end of World War II and thereafter. The book is called, as you see it right there, Hitler in Argentina. Harry was the first person to bring this story to light over 20 years ago with his book called Escape from the Bunker. Now, that book has been stolen from, and when I saw that book and learned of some of the new information that Harry had found on his trips to Argentina, I didn't order him, but I implored him to do a sequel, do another book. It had to be updated. And this book is the result of a great deal of work on Harry's part, and others have contributed to it, and it is a towering masterpiece of reality, which you can't ask for more when you're studying history. This is the truth.
And the research part is so much fun. I've met so many really nice people and people with history. And, you know, I grew up, first off, I was a kid during the war years. And I grew up thinking the Germans were all Nazis and murderers and all sorts of bad stuff because that's what we were taught. That was the propaganda during the wartime. And then, of course, we all knew that Hitler and Eva Braun committed suicide in the Führer bunker because our government said so. And when I first came in contact with Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco, the Abwehr agent, well, later on he was SS Sicherheitsdienst, working in the Führer bunker, when he sent me that letter, a 114-page long, single-space, typewritten letter, in which he described his duties with the Reich, and that he saw Hitler forcibly drugged under orders of Martin Bormann and removed from the bunker, and then in 1952, September, he met with Hitler in Argentina. Boy, I was confused. And we had a visitor, one of our members, Captain Bob Thew, T-H-E-W. He was a U.S. Navy retired captain, spent his whole time in naval intelligence, and then when he retired from the Navy, he went to work for NSA. And he was visiting me in Tampa, and sitting on the sofa, and I asked him if he had ever heard of Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco, and yeah, he had, and he confirmed he was indeed a German agent. And I said, well, this guy's nuts. I said, he said he met with Hitler in September of 1952. I said, everybody knows Hitler committed suicide in the Führer bunker. And just as calmly as could be, Bob says, no, he didn't. We knew he got away. And I said, we? What do you mean, we? Who's we? He said, the intelligence community. We knew Hitler got away. Well, then I started researching, and
what year was that, Harry, approximately?
Well, it wasn't approximately. It was for sure 1989.
89, okay.
Because it was the house I rented in Tampa, and I only had that house in 1989.
Uh-huh.
And so now there's all this buzz about the FBI documents being declassified in 2014,
right.
And this comedy show on the Hitler Channel, I'm sorry, the History Channel.
Might as well be, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, called Hunting Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're making such a big whoop-de-doo about these documents being declassified in 2014. We had those documents 6 years ago. One of our guys who prefers not to be named got a couple of hundred of these documents for us, copies, of course. You know, the FBI is not going to let the originals out, but a couple of hundred of them 5 or 6 years ago. And so that's what I used for the research down there. And it led us right to where to look for him. The FBI knew he got away. 1945, the FBI was just producing files and interrupted.
Oh, they were hot on his tail. They were searching until FBI Director Hoover got the word to stand down.
Right, exactly. And it was all there in black and white. So, you know, anybody who says, well, I really don't believe it, well, the FBI knew he was gone, for Christ's sake. And I've met with people down there since then. I've been in the house. If you look at that picture, which you helped design, incidentally, the front page of my book, that estate in the background, that was the house that Hitler and Eva Braun lived in from 1945 until at least 55. It was built with money from Mercedes of Argentina, allegedly as a recreation
retreat
place for for their executives, I guess, because it's right on a lake, big, huge, beautiful lake, right at the foothills of the Andes. And our research indicates that nobody stayed there until Hitler and Eva Braun showed up, and once they left, nobody lived there since. The place is deserted. It's still owned by somebody and still up for sale, but. And if you look on the web, my website, sharkhunters.com, go to previous tours, or you go to tours first, and then you get an option of the next year's tour or previous. You go to previous tours, go back to Argentina 2008, and you'll see pictures inside the house, too.
It's it's a stunning thing just to look at. Look at the cover of the book. And you'll see Bariloche, and you'll see a red circle under it. That's the location. Gorgeous country. That's where the house is.
Oh, beautiful there.
Yeah, stunning.
San Carlos de Bariloche. And the place is just dripping with spook stories, spy stories. There was a guy named Otto Mehling came there before the war. He's apparently one super mountain climber. Built his own cabin up on... the mountain, and now there's a road up there. But back then, he had to climb the mountain hand over fist and carry all the lumber and junk up there, build his own cabin, and it's overlooking this huge lake called Nahuelhuapi. And he helped develop a lookout ring all around the lake. During that, which came up during the war, and after the war years, there was a huge German security presence there. So, well, that's all on the website. Also, if your listeners want to send me an email at sharkhunters@earthlink.net, and just say they heard the program and they want a copy of our magazine, I'll just send them the current issue. Electronically.
So, you mean complimentary?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
all right.
Same thing. It's free, isn't it?
That's right.
Hey, nobody ever put anything past me. I'm not as dumb as I look.
No. Listen, this is great. The new issue I just got, and they're always just a joy to go through. Hang on. We have to take a short break. We'll come right back as Harry and I continue. Harry's on every third Friday of the month. And we will be back. Okay, and back with Harry, yours truly. So there's the book, Hitler in Argentina, the book that others are stealing from. It's probably spawned the careers of a lot of people, at least certainly revived them. It's the truth. It's all there. Below that is the other book. It's kind of a prelude in a way, Hitler and the Secret Alliance. Tell us about that one, Harry.
Yeah, that one pretty much lays the foundation for how Hitler and thousands of Germans were able to not only Germans, but Italians, Croatians.
It might be tens of thousands. We don't know, ultimately.
Exactly. The foundation was started a little over 100 years ago, in the early 1900s, when large numbers of German and Italian immigrants came to Argentina and took huge tracts of land, hundreds of square acres for a ranch, etc. And not that they had any idea there was going to be an Adolf Hitler in or World War II, but they had a huge network, an undersociety, if you will. And so when World War II started, Argentina was a ready source of help. As we learned, there were spies, agents, etc., going in and out all through the war. Excuse me. And
it was a busy place. Wow.
It was a very busy place. It was openly pro-Axis, and which gave the Allies some fits. The U.S. especially had been pressuring primarily Argentina, but also Brazil, had been pressuring those countries to at least remain neutral, if not come out against Germany. And as a kid, I remember Walt Disney, who did a tremendous amount of propaganda work for the U.S., came out with two different movies. One, I think, was called Three Caballeros or something like that, and it highlighted...
The Three Caballeros, I remember that.
Okay, no, you're not that old. You must have seen it.
You can still see it. There's clips, yeah.
Oh, no kidding, okay. Yeah, well, they had a... Donald Duck, of course, was in it, and then they had brightly colored macaw named Jose Karaoke, and then they had a parrot who wore two six-shooters, and they were to represent these two South American countries, and it showed that America, North America, and these two South American countries were best buddies. Mm-hmm. And finally, Argentina declared war against Germany 2 weeks before Germany surrendered, but it was pretty much on paper, because the Germans were still coming into Argentina at a huge rate for 2 years after the war, at least. And if you'll remember, I was on that secret island off of Rio de Janeiro, about 1,000 kilometers out, named Trindade, not to be confused with Trinidad. And your listeners can go to the website, previous tours, and go to the one that says Brazil.
Uh-huh.
This was an island, Trindade, out in the middle of the central South Atlantic, had absolutely nothing there except lots of fresh water.
And lots of grazing land.
Lots of grazing, and they had goats and pigs on the island. And in 1939, Brazil pulled their Navy guys off the island. They have a small facility of several dozen guys, and their whole job is to raise the flag in the morning and lower the flag at night so that people know this island belongs to Brazil and 200 miles of fishing around there is theirs. They pulled their people in 39, and 1 week later, a German scientific flotilla arrived. And this obviously had been planned, because it was only a week after the Brazilians pulled out, and you don't get there from Germany in a week, not with those ships in those days. And they raised two 80-meter-tall radio towers, and then after a little while, they left and went on, and the Brazilians came back in 1941. There's a picture of the memorial there showing where the Brazilians came back. Then the war ended, for the German war, the European war, ended 8th of May, 1945. 2 months later, in July of 1945, another German group arrived, and they stayed there for at least 2 years, to help supply the ships, submarines, sailing vessels, whatever, coming south, with supply them with fresh water and pigs, goats.
This is also, this is a very major item that nobody knows about except you, and you put it together. They had. I wonder how many submarines were coming south. Any guess on that? How many U-boats left?
No guess. And at one point in time, I would have said only two.
Uh-huh.
U-530 that surrendered at the end of July, and U-977 which surrendered on the 8th of August. And I think, I don't know, I'm going from what people have told me, because I don't watch that comedy show on the History Channel,
mm-hmm.
but it's been reported to me that they claim Martin Bormann was on U-530 and Hitler was on U-977. Well, they like to say Hitler got down there by submarine, and we know that's absolutely false. Hitler
right.
was prone to seasickness. He would go on board the state yacht, the Aviso Grilla, and even while it's tied up in port, he got seasick. And we know he went down there on that JU-390, the one that is pictured on the front cover of Hitler in Argentina.
Yeah.
So at that point, we thought, okay, there's only those two submarines. Well, then we find out that U-977 was picking up radio transmissions from another submarine after U-530 had already pulled into Mar del Plata Navy Base and surrendered, so it wasn't U-530. So who was it? And then we're finding out, well, there was one fellow, it was a good friend of mine, I'm not supposed to mention his name because his family is still around, but he was engineering officer on another boat, a Type 7, and when the surrender order came down, they were up in Norway, and the Allies had not come up there to Norway. They didn't get up there till September mm-hmm. of 45. They took their submarine, filled all the fuel tanks with diesel fuel, filled all the freshwater tanks with diesel fuel, and they were going to head for Tahiti. But then their flotilla commander found out about it and said, no, we were ordered to stand down and wait for the Allies. But there were many other submarines, and we're finding out later on that not all submarines were numbered. They had the black boats, the submarines that didn't exist on paper. And one of our members, who's since passed away, I was in his home in Austria, and he was telling me all about his Navy career. And at the end of the war, he was on a German destroyer. And I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Carl, there were no German destroyers at the end of the war. They were all wiped out before that. And he hemmed and hawed, and then he finally admitted he was on a black boat. And they made three trips down to the Sargasso Sea, the Caribbean, whatever,
uh-huh.
after the war ended, with people on board that they transferred over to steamers. And he was very quick to point out, I don't know who they were. I don't know their names.
That's funny.
Remember, I see nothing. I hear nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sergeant Schultz. So
there could have been 20 or 30 of these black boats lurking around, moving people, material.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We have no way to know how many are left over after the war because they were clandestine to begin with.
Yeah.
And where are the records? Nobody seems to know. And as for those two boats I mentioned, U-530 and U-977, they made a big fuss about the fact that all paperwork was thrown overboard, all the personal documents, the ID cards of all the men on board, it was all thrown over. There was no paperwork left on these boats at all. But in 1947, our friend and member Peter Hansen, who officially was a young Lieutenant Zersee in the Kriegsmarine, was actually fairly high up in the Abwehr, you mm-hmm. know, the
Secret Service, yeah.
Right. He was sent down there to Buenos Aires 2 years after the war ended to translate all the paperwork that wasn't on the boats.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
So when I asked him about it about 4 or 5 years ago, oh, well, it was nothing, just operating.
This would have been cargo manifest, too. That's the most interesting part. Yeah.
Yes. And so when I was there in 2008, our member and my friend, Dr. Gerding, who was a Argentine Navy doctor, arranged for me to visit the submarine base at Mar del Plata. They were so nice to me. They treated me like family. And they hauled out two big storage boxes full of paperwork that wasn't on these submarines, allegedly. And there's pictures of that on my website, too, under the 2008 trip to Argentina. And they told me at that time I could come back anytime I wanted and look at all the papers. Well, I can speak German enough to get along, but I can't read German or squat. And these were filled out by hand in the old German script that the Allies had outlawed.
Yeah.
So I've made arrangements now through my friend, Dr. Gerding, that I can go to the Navy base for a couple days and copy all these files and documents and everything. So that's one of the things I'll be doing down there.
Oh, fascinating. Well, that just
a busy 4 weeks.
Yeah, the cargo manifests themselves, easily translatable, and this is going to be fascinating. I mean, there may be another book here.
Oh, I suspect there's going to be a few more books.
Yeah, yeah. All right, hold on as we get to Journey Through History with Harry Cooper. We've got another hour to go. We've got more pictures to look at. The next couple pictures are very unique. This is wild. Hang on. We shall return. And don't forget, sharkhunters.com. Look for previous trips and go on these trips. You can take the picture journey and enjoy and see things, and it's fascinating. Hold on, and we'll be back in just a couple. Re-ion ozone negative ion generator will clean your indoor air of pollen, smoke, odors, mold, bacteria, and viruses, and more, and will put extra oxygen into your bloodstream and clean your body just by you being there. I hope you'll drop by and visit GoHealthyNext.com and take a look. The prices are more than affordable, and the results are priceless. That's GoHealthyNext.com.